B. John Sinning, I know you got to get out of here. I just wanted to say that fake John Sinning. Woo-wee.
He was good. He was good. It's funny, you know, you really find out the ones that are near and dearest to you the most.
Yes,
they're the ones that can hit you the hardest and the lowest.
And it's great that you guys invited me into the studio so quickly. I'm sorry Mary couldn't be here. I wanted to make some other points about vocular modulation disorder. Just imagine what it's like when you're at a party and they start singing, "It's a little bit softer now, a little bit." It's impossible for those of us with vocular modulation disorder. Imagine what lovemaking is like.
Dude. Like it just don't care. 5,000 leaders never scared. Bring the noise is the moment they feared.
You just never know, John.
You really don't. I mean, I didn't even know that Patrick Smith had that in him at all, let alone like for it to be directed towards someone who I thought he considered a friend.
It's Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
And the funny thing is that I found out this is a voice that he's been working on. And like long before Mary and the conversation about me being loud and obnoxious, Patrick Smith had this one in the chamber.
I don't know if he was working on it more than it just came or get. Had you been working on
it? No, we debuted it that one time.
That one time.
That's all it takes. One time for me to know that.
He's got your. What I love is that he's got your cadence, man. He's got the rhythm of your speak. It's almost like he's been chewing chaw.
I'm
on
just
the porch
glad
for
that
decades.
Brother Sinning is so cool with it. It speaks to your security.
You know, right? thank you.
Yes, you're a big man.
I love you all very much.
We love you too, man.
Thank you for sharing a pour with me. And
absolutely,
I'll be listening.
Absolutely,
Uncle Cracker forever. Don't
get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Love you, Sinning. Love
you,
man.
Brother.
Obviously, we will be joined by the attorney, Patrick Smith. You can hear him every Saturday on this very station from 8 until 9. We got to get some a primer time.
No, I love 8 o'clock.
You're like, oh, yeah.
An additional time.
Yeah. Well, maybe we just need to get you on here a little bit more.
You tell me when and where. I'm here anytime you need me, buddy.
But there you are. The premier estate attorney. The Patrick Smith right there. Also have phone screener Tony in. What say you, phone screener Steve? I'm sorry.
What's going on?
You doing all right?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for answering the phones. We need that on a Friday. And I guess, are we at that time? Oh, let me just say thank you, Drew Argarabo and the John Sinning for a fantastic show. And, of course, the inspiration for Fake John Sinning. Love you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. And you heard that laugh, that Eddie Murphy-esque laugh. that's the one and only Spike on the mic. Spike, how you sticking?
Oh, man, I'm sticking with a question that I think only attorney Patrick Smith probably can answer.
Smith, sit down. Move over to mic three there. Act like you're going to be here for 2 hours.
Why do people
let the man
step
plug
into my
his
office,
head?
Spike, how can I help you today?
Why, you got to sit down. You can walk and listen.
Go.
Why do people with lots of money and rich cars just think they can park anywhere? I went to the post office, and there was an Aston Martin, and it just pulled up right in front of the post office and just parked their car. The lady got out of the car and went into the post office. I'm like, only money does that.
Now, let me ask you something before you answer his question. In 2024, is the Aston Martin, is that anything?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't think that truly wealthy people, in my experience, often don't drive what we consider luxury vehicles.
Well, I looked at it. I said, ooh. So I Googled the cost of an Austin Martin near me. Them suckers, $200,000. When I Googled, was a 2022.
Listen, if an Austin Martin is $200,000, imagine how much an Aston Martin is.
Well, the Austin Martin, those are the ones they sell up in Lake City
on the secondary
market.
Yo, Spike, I got this good deal on this Austin Martin.
It's even got an extra vowel.
But I was thinking, why that woman didn't get into a parking spot? Then I thought,
Well, again,
because she didn't want to get dinked.
So I've become more compassionate over the years. And that's mostly because of my gorgeous wife, Christy, who you guys know. And so my immediate thought goes to, maybe this woman was having a day.
Wow.
Like she was having an emergency and just didn't have a choice. So this is, so I like to give people the benefit of the doubt when I can.
Where did she park?
It was right in front of a UPS store.
Yeah. So she's rushing something to maybe a family member who needs something urgent. She's in a panic.
Wow,
and
you are that good
she parked, guy. She parked right in front of the store. Yeah. Yeah. It was a
strip mall.
Right.
It was the Publix over there on Anderson, and there's a UPS store right there.
I mean, I'm versatile. We can go the other way with it. She was a landlord rushing to get papers out to evict a family of four, if you want to go the other way.
Okay. I'll say this, okay. And I do not drive anything remotely fancy. If I know I'm running in and running out, I've parked in front of a store. I've done that. I don't think that's rich and entitlement or anything.
You're doing
like
it right
that.
Now. The truck's parked out front and in no
but
parking
this,
zone.
This wasn't the park.
It's not in a no parking zone. It's in the loading zone.
Okay.
And guess what? At 8 o'clock, I'm going to load my ass in it. All right, go ahead, Spike.
This wasn't it was in traffic. It was, you know, right there on the curb in front of the thing. It was traffic. It wasn't a parking spot.
Was there enough? I know that.
Yeah, the cars had to go around, but if the car's coming, you know, one way, you have to.
Minor inconvenience.
Yeah, I think, but what Mo said hit the nail on the head. It's an entitlement issue, which transcends class, wealth, in every category.
Right.
People feel entitled. No matter
or, again, if you know you're running, hey, I'm just dropping this package off. Now, I have no idea how long she was there, but if I'm going to be a matter of seconds, say 30 to 45, I've done that before.
But you walk into a UPS store, you know, and there's people in there. You're going to go in there and say, I'm getting in front of the line?
Some of the boxes, when I walk into a UPS store, the box is pre-labeled and everything, and I'm just dropping it off. That's it.
But the issue here is you have just as much reason to believe that lady was in a panic taking care of an emergency as to suppose she was just rich and obnoxious and thought she owned the parking lot.
Hell, she might have.
But it's kind of your prejudice. That's assigning this to her car. So
very
this
good.
Is an opportunity for you to grow, Spike.
Very nice.
Wow.
Spike's racist.
She might have just ran out of gas, Spike. You don't know that lady's story right there. Got lucky enough to get in front of a UPS
store. Yeah, I know
store.
That lady's story because she got out of the car and left her pocketbook right there on the passenger seat.
No, what happened was he tried to hug her, and she screamed and maced him, and he got upset.
And ran into the UPS door.
That's right. Okay. She didn't have a chance to park.
Well, you're right. I just said rich people. That's all I said. Because, you know, that's an expensive car to me.
Spike, I've seen.
It's not a competition.
I know. I've seen non-rich cars do the exact same thing.
Most times you see somebody with money.
Most times, what I see with fancier, more costly automobiles is them taking up two parking spots. That's what I see more often.
All the time.
Well, I'm okay with that.
So I will tell you this.
Why?
Because they don't want to get the car dinked.
You know what?
They don't.
I don't want my car dinked.
They're taking extra precaution.
I don't want my car dinked.
Well, then you can do that, too. Go out, go park away and take up two parking spots.
I'm not inconsiderate like that.
Okay, but the lady just put her Austin Martin right there in front of it. That's inconsiderate, wasn't it? But y'all just gave her the benefit.
She was there for a second. She wasn't parking. She
was parked.
The car might have been in. There's a difference between your car being in park and you parking your car.
Can you just tell me you're still calling it Austin Martin on purpose?
He's not. He really isn't.
Aston Martin.
Really,
all right. Yeah, you know, so interestingly enough, my dream car, a guy brought it to the office. There was one available, so he drove it to the office. It was a 1965 Shelby 427.
That Shelby.
Everything original. 2,300 original miles. Oh, and I didn't buy it.
It broke a lot, huh?
I didn't buy it, and I'll tell you.
He brought it to the office because it was your dream car.
My dream car. And I looked at it, and I'll tell you this. It's funny how as life goes on, the things you thought you wanted, you really don't want. And I looked at the car, and I was like, where am I going to drive it?
On the road.
Right. I get it. But, like, if I'm going to park it at a restaurant, no, I'm going to worry the entire time I'm having the meal.
But that's what insurance is for.
I get it. But with that car, it was more of a worry to me. And the things that have been important to me aren't as important to me now. And it's the mentoring that we're doing and the programs we're supporting, the charity work. Like, it's just so – I realize I sound so old right now.
Yeah, you do. Well, a little bit, because I'll tell you this. My dream car has been a DeLorean, and I'll drive the F out of that son of a bitch. Go ahead and open the door on it. I don't give a damn. Hello, Progressive. Somebody busted up my DeLorean.
Didn't Steve from Stingray Chevrolet promise you a DeLorean?
Don't start that. Don't get me started on Steve Hurley. Really. We've been having good conversation lately. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to grip him for a snake sometime down the line. Okay. But no.
You rich people, go ahead.
The things that I've wanted, I don't know that I have fallen out of desire for them. Now, they have become less important, a want. You know, the older I get, I let a lot of things go that I collected because it's like, well, you know, what is the value of this really?
Well, I was talking to a very good buddy of mine. He doesn't mind me mentioning him on the air. He said, dude, mention my name anytime you want. But Matt Steele, who hosts Truck U on Velocity, we're really good friends, been friends for 20 years. And we were recently, we just talk about kind of life issues, and we share advice to each other. And I told him this. I'm like, dude, few people get the opportunity to sit across from as many 90-plus-year-olds as I do.
Right,
so every chance I do, planning, right, the estate planning thing. So I ask every 90-plus-year-old, I ask them two questions. One, what's the most important thing you've learned in 90 years? And they say almost 98% of the time, be kind. That's what they learn. And then number two, if you could get a message back in time to you at my age now, what would it be? Again, almost the same percentage. The answer is don't sweat the small stuff.
Right. Turn your radio down when you're on the air.
Turn your phone off. You have a job in radio. How do you not know that?
Did any of them mention that? If you have a job in radio, make sure your phone is off.
I just look at this as an opportunity not to sweat the small stuff.
Disney ring was that, too. Yeah. What was that?
It's immaterial.
Little Mermaid?
It's immaterial to the fact that he had it all.
Yeah, really.
And I think that's the takeaway is, like, as life goes on, it's really that simple. Just be kind to people.
Yeah.
Don't sweat the small
stuff. I'm a movie guy, and I love movie lines. And the line out of a Kevin Costner, Clint Eastwood film, I feel underrated, A Perfect World. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner says at one point in the film to a lady that's being, you know, kind of mean to a kid, he says, be nice. It don't cost nothing. And I'm like, and he's got like a country draw, but he, this is the way he's, it don't cost nothing.
Yeah.
And then, and that same thing that, the people are saying to you as well. And that's always stuck with me, although I think I've always been a nice person.
Well, the corollary to that is being mean's free too.
Being mean takes a price off your.
I agree with that.
Mental health and soul. It does.
What?
It really does. It does. That might be a little too existential.
Yeah, hop in your Austin Martin and think about that.
When you're driving in your Austin Martin.
What y'all didn't catch is that YouTube people thought that Austin Martin, Aston Martin,
Martin
is not an expensive car.
Not that it's not expensive.
Yes, you said that.
What I said is it still a car? Is it still a car that has cachet amongst people? I mean, it's...
Yes.
Yes, I think I know. I think I know.
I will say
one of James Bond's baddest-ass cars was an Aston Martin. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys. First, I want to say I guess Patrick's never met my 99-year-old grandpa because he definitely would not have said to be
nice.
Kind. That's pretty true.
What would he have said, Jeff?
I don't think we'd be able to say it on the radio.
I like your grandpa.
About the car thing, what I hate more than people pulling up to the store that's not in a parking spot is when they take two parking spots with their nice car. Like there's two open parking spots, and they pull up.
We had mentioned that. And you're 100% right. It's just, I mean, if you have a car that you're afraid of parking correctly,
or
then
you don't need
that car.
You're not afraid, or you appreciate it, Mo.
There are people that are driving $20,000 cars that appreciate the F out of those cars and don't want them dinged. It's not about
how much you're afraid.
If you're too afraid. If you're too afraid to park it correctly. There are people that don't want their $20,000 car hit as much as someone doesn't want their $200,000 car hit.
So the $200,000 car are using the same feelings that you say in this 20,000 guy car is.
Right.
Is it afraid or appreciate? One of the two. They're doing the same thing.
They appreciate their car and they also don't want it hit.
$20,000 car guy afraid?
He may be afraid if somebody's parked too close. I've gotten into some very tight parking spots. I'm like, oh man, hopefully this doesn't get hit.
But my point was, you said if you're afraid to drive your car.
Yeah, yes, if you're afraid, the
person, if you're afraid to park it properly, Spike,
okay,
then you probably property. Don't need it. If you have a car is a car. It's a material possession.
A car is a car.
It's a material possession. Don't be stank ass and take up two spots. Don't be selfish. That's being stank. And I'm not. Yeah, and I know you're an apologist for stank asses, but don't be stank.
I'm working with one.
No, because I park my car in one parking spot, no matter how much it costs. I'll pull it up and I'll park it in one spot. There you go. That's what insurance is for.
I think your example would have worked better with like a limousine. If there was a limousine parked in front of the store.
I understand that.
Well, then you can presume the wealth. But like an Aston Martin, really? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a great car.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying. But like your presumption about wealth, like
yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's wealth.
Like a guy who drives an Aston Martin may put up all his money in the car. A guy who's driven in a limousine,
which might be why he's afraid to get it hit because all of his money is in the car.
Yeah, and we parked his G6 in front of Publix. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, don't try
like a
to
Hyundai.
No, yeah, don't try to impress nobody driving an Aston Martin. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe and I don't know when they came on the scene, but I'd say about 87, 88, 89 Aston Martin started depreciating in cool factor.
I put it in the same neighborhood as like Jaguar. I mean, that's kind of the same territory.
Yeah.
Different ends of the same street.
Yeah,
like,
Wait a minute, hold on a second. A Jaguar and a Martin are not in the same price range, are they? No. I'll answer that.
Well, you don't think you can get a Jaguar for $200K? I'm sure you could, probably.
We have resources.
Yeah,
but you also,
I don't think the base of a Jaguar and the base of an Austin is, what did y'all want to call it? Austin Martin is the same. The thing is an expensive car.
It's an Aston Martin's also passe. Yeah,
I don't know what that got to do with anything.
Might as well
so you got the 2024 F-Type for $121,000.
F-Type, what is that?
Jaguar,
okay.
Yeah. F-Type
for $121,000.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's Jaguar
brand,
of Sarasota.
Brand new. You can get a brand new Jaguar for $121,000.
Right. You can get the 1955 Jaguar D-Type for $21.78 million.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I stand correct.
There's some range there. So.
Yeah. Ooh.
Now, hey,
spot him, got him.
Hey, that one I might park in two spots. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've called in a couple times the last couple of weeks, and this one hit home for a second because my dad owns an Aston Martin Repeat AS. Great car, but I just wanted to make sure that Spike knew it's Aston Martin.
Yes, we're trying.
You guys are focused on that part. Get to the point. We know.
The point is that you're mispronouncing the name
of
the car.
But you know what I'm talking about.
But why not?
You're not confused. You're not thinking I'm talking about a balloon.
Listen, Lionel Martin was one of the founders of the company, and he drove cars on Aston Hill and near Aston Clinton, and that's how they came up with the name of the car.
There you go.
Aston Martin.
There you go. Does your dad still have the Aston Martin?
Truthfully, in all honesty, he just sold it for a Porsche Panamera executive and traded it in because the Aston Martin had to have some work done on it, just a bunch of sensors redone, and it was an $11,000 job just to have sensors redone.
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't expensive. That's good.
Yeah.
This is a $225,000 car.
There you go.
And they are still very, very popular in, and I won't tell you who he bought it from because it's probably a competitor of.
Don't worry about it. You don't have to say it.
But let me ask something. Don't you think the popularity of an Aston Martin is the boomer generation?
I would think so, but I think some of that translates down to I mean, it was a Bond car for a long time. Sleek-looking car.
Yeah, that's what I said. One of the best-looking Bond cars was an Aston Martin. Absolutely. But again, that was in 1970-something.
It started in the 50s when it came into Bond film.
Oh, was that Bond film from the 50s?
I believe so.
Ooh, okay. I'd have to check that. Maybe I'll give you the 60s. The 50s seem a little bit earlier, but you might be right. I'd have to see when Dr. No, which was the first the Bond film, and I believe that's where the Aston Martin made its
I know it came in a Grand Touring Cars in the 50s and 60s and was in Goldfinger in 64.
Aston Martin has been featured in 8 James Bond films, including Goldfinger in 64, Thunderball in 1965, GoldenEye, Tomorrow there Never Dies, Casino Royale, Skyfall, yeah. Spectre, and
yeah,
No
I
Time
thought the
to
50s
die.
Was a little bit early.
Still expensive
yeah,
car.
Yeah, yeah,
64.
Yeah.
And that was the Aston Martin DB5, by the way.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. There you go.
I don't know what his point was.
You say things wrong.
You say things wrong. That was the point. That the name that Aston Leroy Leroy Aston put a lot of money.
But the thing was, he knew what I was talking about. He called in because he knew what I was talking about. Like if I would have said they parked a Ngama Ntakwakwa, then he would have had no idea what I'm talking about.
You know how they're like James Earl Jones reading the Bible audio recordings? Yes, I'd pay a lot of money just to hear Spike's recitation of the Bible. I can imagine the liberties he'd take with certain things.
He'd get hung up on Deuteronomy.
Yeah, I get hung up on that. And the man had a stick and he parted the Red Sea.
He get hung up on that. Don't even try.
No one has names. It's just the man.
Don't even try and get him to pronounce Nebuchadnezzar.
Let's try another car.
That is not going to happen.
How about Lamborghini?
What about it?
Your Spike said.
What did he just say?
He asked you what your thoughts on a Lamborghini.
That's an expensive car.
Yeah.
200 to 250?
I wouldn't mind.
Hold on. This Martin was a four-door coupe. So it was a big one. It wasn't a little small Bond one. So that sucker definitely was 300. Least, well, man, actually, I don't know how much it was.
I saw the Lamborghini lady was going to the SUV poster. The other day.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was impressed with it.
I'm not a fan. I think when the same thing with the Porsche SUV, I don't know. About a sports, I mean, a great engine in that.
It's got the same motor.
I was hanging around with Steve Hurley, and I was down at Stingray Chevrolet, and we were going to lunch, and he had a Lamborghini SUV on the lot, and we took that. To go to eat, and I got to be honest with you, it was badass. I loved it. I loved it.
Well, did y'all park in a tight parking spot?
We parked in one parking spot.
Yeah, we parked way out, wasn't it?
One parking spot. Hey, Riv, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, don't be picking on my man Spike there, you know, about the Aston Martin, because, you know, he just had knee surgery and he's on his oxycotions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that oxycotin.
Thank you, Riv.
That'll really mess you up mentally. Thank you, Riv, for reminding me about that. Plus, I think Spike's brain is in his knee.
It's a cat named Mo on 102.5 The Bone.